I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They have fitted their arrow to the stream.
Hello and welcome to day three. In this week's series of devotions, we're continuing the series called Songs for the Journey. Based on the book of Psalms, there's going to be elements of landscape and journey and nature running throughout this series as there is today. A question for you. How do you feel about gardening? In decent weather, some people can find refuge, rest and recreation in their gardens. My friend and near neighbour, Jean, has a terrific garden that can bear all kinds of good fruit for her. But I know it took many months of labour to get it into its current pleasant and productive state. I have to say, I am no gardener. But I do enjoy visiting a nice garden, and I like gardens as a metaphor for the spiritual life. I say this for several reasons. Number one, I believe gardens show us something of the nature of God. In the reasonably well-known poem God's Garden by Dorothy Frances Gurney, she writes, "The kiss of the sun for pardon, the song of the birds for mirth. One is nearer God's heart in a garden than anywhere else on earth." Her point, I think, is that the warmth of the sun, the song of the birds, and the enjoyment that our five senses receive from experiencing nature are testimony to God's heart for us. God's gifts of nature is a treat for our senses and an act of God's love for us. Two, I believe gardens show us something of the nature of life. Nature and landscape can hold wild beauty, requiring no help or enhancement from humans. But a garden is not really like that. Gardens tend to require work, often continual thought, energy, and attention. If we want to enjoy the treasures of the earth, be they flower, fruit, or vegetable, someone has got to put in the effort, and often you get out what you put in. Thirdly, I believe gardens show us something of how to engage with God in prayer. The treasures of the earth are often hidden. They are there and they are potentially enjoyable for us, but initially they are underground and surrounded by dirt and darkness. Whether flora, fauna, or food, getting them into their best and most useful state requires work. Psalm 34 contains the well-known phrase, well-known for Christians at least, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." But the author also writes of putting time and effort into his relationships and his relationship to God. Verse 4 says, "I sought the Lord and he answered me." Verse 10 says, "Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." Verse 14 says, "Seek peace and pursue it. Searching, seeking, and pursuing do not suggest no effort on our part or relying on a one-off act, but of continuing exertion. Good things don't always come to us cheaply or easily. In gardens, in life, or in our spiritual life. In his book, Stride Towards Freedom, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. wrote, "Human progress is neither automatic nor inevitable. Even a superficial look at history reveals that no social advance rolls in on the wheels of inevitability. Every step towards the goal of justice requires sacrifice, suffering, and struggle, the tireless exertions and passionate concern of dedicated individuals." I think that some level of struggle and exertion and dedication can be needed in our prayers and in our relationship to God. Our relationship to God can remain under the surface or at the level of potential unless it is cultivated and worked on. That seems true for the nurturing of potential in much of life. So may God help us to be people who work on the gardens of our soul. May God help us all.
Righteous deeds, the upright shall behold.